Take a seat. Okay, you're all seated. You know, one morning a very rich atheist decided to spend his day out at sea on his yacht. Very rich guy. And the waters were very clear and calm. And soon he got into the water and began to swim. A few minutes went by and he swam to the right, to the left, back and forth. But shortly after, out of the corner of his eye from a distance, he suddenly spotted what he thought to be the fin of a shark. And it turned out it was a shark moving towards him. Panic set in. He was a few meters away from safety. He turned away from looking at the shark that was fast approaching, and he started swimming desperately, frequently looking back over his shoulders quickly to see where the shark was. He was a man who did not believe in God, that God did not exist altogether. He was someone who had everything life could offer, not a care in the world. And in that very moment, his whole life flashed before him, and the thought of losing everything, especially his life, could well become a reality in a matter of seconds. In desperation, he cried out to God, "God, if you really exist, reveal yourself, show yourself." Then suddenly, everything stood still. The man stopped swimming, the shark froze in the waters, and a bright light pierced through the clear blue sky, and a voice, God's voice, responded and said, "Yes, you called?" The man replied, "Are you really God?" "Yes, I am God. I don't believe it. It must be my imagination. I'm hallucinating," said the man. God responded, "If I'm not God, how do you explain the bright light, my communicating with you in this manner, and everything that has come to a standstill?" The atheist was stunned for a moment. Because of pride, defiance, arrogance, he finally responded and said, "If you are really God, then make this shark believe in you. Let me see this take place with my own eyes." There was silence for a few seconds. Then God said, "Okay, I will do as you ask." The very next moment, the bright light disappeared. The conversation stopped. Everything came back to normalcy. The man began to swim desperately towards his yacht, inches away from safety. He turned and looked over his shoulders once more. And as he did, the shark was almost upon him. Suddenly, the shark rose up to the surface of the water and stood on its tail fin, put its side fins together in a posture of prayer, closed its eyes and said, "Father, for the food that I'm about to partake, I give you thanks." You may have heard this story, but this story is an illustration of perhaps many people in the world. A cry to God, a cry to encounter God. But you know what? Even as God revealed himself to this man wanted God on his own terms, on his own conditions. He cried to God from the desperation of his heart, the situation. I want to read to you a short passage, Matthew 16, verses 13 to 17, but I'll read part of it for this time being, and I want you to hold on to this. Matthew 16, verses 13. "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.'" I'll stop there, 13 and 14. I'm supposed to speak on prayer, but I told Pastor Tina, I just want to entitle my sermon, encountering God. I'm sharing this evening from a personal journey of my encounter with God. And a great part of it has to do with prayer. But what do I use as a basis for my prayer? I will tell you later on as I share my story with you. There are different types of prayer. I understand that Auntie Lai Keng shared with you about challenging you guys to pray for the nations. And we should pray for the nation. We should pray for the leaders of this land because we are living in turbulent times. So prayer has got perhaps different categories that you can put it under. Communion, supplication, spiritual warfare. If you want to categorize my journey, I probably would put it primarily under spiritual warfare. It is a personal journey, as I said, of how I encountered God. But it doesn't end there. Let me give you some background. You know, I attended a church camp many, many years ago. And on one morning, while on my way to breakfast, a brother named Michael stopped me along the way. He introduced himself to me. And he began to share about Jesus Christ to me. And how Jesus died for my sins and wants to give me eternal life. Nothing wrong with all these things. Now, I gave my life to Christ at St. Andrew's Primary School, church camp. I was from that school because I was very hungry. Early in the morning, I was rushing to fill my tummy. And I really, really, honestly, on hindsight, looking back, I didn't understand what the sinner's prayer was all about. I just wanted to get it done and over with. There was even no mention when I looked back in my own life of what repentance was all about. I only started to attend Sunday school 2 years later after the camp and eventually began serving in committees. I taught in Sunday school. I even led in worship. This went on for many years. I was religiously serving on Sundays but lived my own life under my own terms and conditions. And for most of the time, except for the few hours I was in church, God played no part, or I didn't allow God to play any part in my life. That was who I was. I continued with my old lifestyle, even while I was in church. I went through the motion of doing all the religious stuff. Had knowledge. But you know what? I did not know God. I had not encountered Him at all. And I was just reading the Bible again in 1 Samuel as part of my quiet time. Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, the priest, they were priests themselves. But the Bible says that they did not know God. And reading further down, I looked on at the word of God and says, Samuel, while he was about 11 years old, while he was ministering to God, he himself still did not know the Lord yet. He did not encounter God himself. So here I was, just like examples in the Bible, religiously going through all these motions, leading in worship, in prayer, but I did not know God. I had not encountered Him. One night at a corporate prayer meeting in my previous church, the speaker, I'm not too sure if he's still around. He would be pretty old now, Reverend Abel Thomas. He preached on listening to God. He gave an altar call at the end of his message, which had never before happened because the church I came from was a very traditional church, very conservative. I responded and I asked him to pray this prayer for me, that I would serve God in the beauty of holiness. That I would serve God in the beauty of holiness. I don't know why, if you ask me why I prayed that prayer, but it just came out from my lips. Sometime later, I attended another meeting, and at the end of it, this speaker who was from South Africa wanted to pray for those who were desiring to receive this gift of tongues. I went up. aircon room, cold. When you started praying for me, I started perspiring. Nothing happened. And the pastor asked me, what is wrong? I responded and said, there is sin in my life. There is sin in my life. I was more affected emotionally, mentally, spiritually than I was disappointed. I had identified myself as a Christian, a leader, was even water baptized. But yet, I was so tired of the double life I was living, worn out by the lifestyle of sin and the practice of it. You know, when you practice something often, you get addicted. You become like a professional. So I was like a professional sinner, day in, day out. I was a professional sinner, a practitioner of sin. One night as I lay on my bed with my wife beside me, she's somewhere around here. By the way, I'm getting married again to the same woman after 35 years of marriage. She's over there. We're going away for a marriage weekend next week. So I'm getting remarried again to the same lady. I lay on my bed with my wife beside me. I looked up the ceiling and I said these words. God, if Jesus is really your son who came to die for my sins, then I want to trust in him. I want to give my life to him. Mind you, I had been attending and serving church for 19 years. And yet I found myself uttering these words. God, if Jesus is really your son who came to die for my sins, then I want to trust in him. We sang the song, in Christ I put my trust. You know, immediately, Satan responded and said, you think you will be free? You will never be free. You will die trying. I knew what he was talking about. He was talking about sin in my life. I knew what he was talking about. And I responded and said, if I die trying, so be it. The conversation ended. A few weeks later, after a church service, I reached home and headed straight to the living room. I found myself on my knees, confessing my sins before God. You ask me what happened, I don't know. Probably God started, I believe that God started working in my life when I prayed that prayer or asked that Reverend Abel Thomas to pray that prayer. I pray that I may serve the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I believe it started from there. So I confessed my sins and it went on for 1 hour. One after another, the Lord brought to mind every sin I did and committed. In the course of confessing my sins, I began to forgive my father. It was not an easy task being a father of a child who didn't obey. I was one of the disobedient ones. And one day, out of frustration, he said, I will put food in your poison, and you put poison in your food. Oh, you're very fast. I knew I had to correct myself. You're waiting to jump on me. Fighters especially. This guy tends to look down on me. We don't see eye to eye, even when we are seated. My father said, I will put poison in your food, and you will not even know it. I had to forgive my brother. I painstakingly put a model aeroplane in place, but he came back and I don't know what he did, he fell, but it broke. I was a bit upset. I was young. But the confession went on for 1 hour. Next Sunday after church, the same thing happened again. I just cried and cried before the Lord. And as I confessed, I felt things leaving me. In the course of experiencing this, I felt as if life was being choked out of me altogether. I couldn't breathe at times. I struggled for breath. I knew to an extent what was taking place. God was doing deliverance on me. Personally, He was doing something deep in my life. I forgave my dad 16 years after he passed on. You know, as I confessed and repented of my sins, and as I cried and cried, I felt the love of God coming over me. Encountering God. I encountered God first time after 19, 20 years of religiously going to church. I prayed that prayer. God, if Jesus Christ is really your Son, I want to give my life to Him. And that encounter began, and I prayed a prayer of repentance. Perhaps some of you need to pray this prayer. I don't know. A prayer of repentance before God. Every time I sin, I would say, God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But I would go back to sin again the next moment, the very next moment. So I encountered Jesus, the Savior, for my first time in my life. Deliverer, healer, just by repenting. You know, soap and detergent is used for bathing and the washing of clothes to remove stain and dirt, right? All of us know it. But some stains cannot be removed no matter how hard or how much we scrub. It certainly cannot remove the guilt of stain of sin. Likewise, my involvement in religious activities gave me a false sense that all was well with me. The illusion that it made me feel less of a sinner, that the weight of sin and guilt would not be so heavy. But I was only deceiving myself. I was just deceiving myself. I could put on a show for others to see. But I couldn't fool God. Because God sees me. For the first time in my life, after 19 years of saying, sorry, Lord, sorry, Lord, sorry, Lord, I felt clean. Cleansed from the inside out by the blood of Jesus Christ. This time, I encountered God on His terms, not mine. But it began with repentance. Wow. Repentance took place. Nothing else needs to be done. I've made it. I've got eternal life. But I've got bad news for you. Or whatever news you want to call it. You know, I wish it was true that after repentance, after encountering the grace and the mercy of God, His love, His forgiveness, His deliverance, I could just sit back and relax. After all, I've encountered God. Nothing else needs to be done. I wish it were true that I would not have to do anything else but to sit back under a coconut tree and just drink coconut water and leave the rest to God. But the battle was just about to begin. It's just about to begin. That was just one part. I encountered God through repentance. My second point I want to bring across to you guys is that I have to keep my deliverance. And that is encountering God through reading and memorizing His Word. You know, in the army there are rules and regulations, and to a certain extent they are there to control, set boundaries, but more so, they are there for our safety and our well-being. Right? You break one rule, you go out of bounds, you may find yourself in deep, troubled waters. We often hear the saying, the kingdom of God is here. This simply means that the rule and the reign of God is here. Now, with the rule and reign of God here in our midst, it comes with it expectations that God have of you and I for our good. People tend to think that God has no expectations of us, but I'm here to correct you. God has expectations of you and I, how we live and move and have our being. He wants us to come under His rule and reign. And just as in the army, where I had to first read and familiarize myself with all the rules and regulations, I had to begin memorizing and reading the Word of God. There was no shortcut. I wish it was true where God can just pour out His Spirit miraculously on you and I, and the Word of God will just flood us from inside out. He can do it. It's not that He can't. But that is not the normal way that He works. It's not the normal way that He works. The first thing I was led to do was to go back to God's Word. I was hungry for it. And the Holy Spirit began to teach me, bringing me to specific verses. I'll just share with you a few of these verses that made a difference in my life. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from his sins. Save his people from his sins. His name shall be called Jesus. I began to think about this. Now, do you save if there's a fire? If someone is in the fire, do you save the person in the fire or from the fire? You will pull the person out from the fire, right? So Jesus has come to save you and I from our sins, pulling us out from the clutches of sin, from the bondage of sin. Another verse. Colossians 2:13-15. You were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. God has forgiven me of all my sins. He cancelled the record of the charges held against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Jesus cancelled every record, every accusation that has been leveled at me by the devil. He just took it away. He removed it. And He nailed it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them to the cross. I began to understand what Jesus did. I had to understand the finished work of Christ in my life. Otherwise, I would not know how to fight the battle ahead of me. I would not know how to pray. What Jesus did was that when we receive Him into our lives, every accusation of the enemy was nailed to the cross. Satan cannot accuse us unless we give him permission to do so. Jesus stripped the enemy of all of his power. You know, when a soldier comes to you, if he's prepared for battle, he'll be fully armed. Imagine Satan and his cohorts are fully armed with whatever weaponry there is. Jesus took away all that weaponry from them. Stripped them. They got no power unless I choose to walk in obedience unless I choose to sin. So I began to understand this in picture form. Another scripture passage, 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Let me repeat that. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than what you can stand or what you can bear. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Now, is temptation sin? Is temptation sin? No, right? If I am in need of money, and I'm in the room, and somebody has left $500 in a wallet there, the person has forgotten. That is temptation, right? The money. Now, if I take it, put it in my pocket, walk away, then I've committed wrong. I've committed sin. But if it's just there, God is saying, there is no temptation taken you except that which is common to man. Every one of us here, according to the word, we are faced with temptation. But I have a choice. I can choose to give in to the temptation, or I can walk away. I can walk away from it. One or two more. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Let me read that again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. The Greek actually says this. Instead of he is a new creation, the Greek says, let him become a new creation. That means there's a responsibility on my part for change, to change. Yes, I stand before Christ just as if I'd never sinned. I stand before God holy. But there are scriptural passages that tell us to put off our old nature, to put on our new. Now, I'm referring scripture to you guys right now because it is very foundational. It is very foundational for me, and it still is until the day I breathe my last breath. I tell you with all honesty. Scripture is foundational because my life is fashioned after the Word of God. My prayer life is fashioned after the Word of God. Now, all this happened after my time of repenting before God. I had to repent. I had to begin to read His Word. I began to memorize His Word. I encountered God through all these things. God revealed Himself, who He is, in His Word. The next thing I did, I began praying His Word. It's not an overnight change because the practice of sin, as I mentioned to you, was a lifestyle. Old habits die hard, they say. And it's like I was like someone addicted to heroin, ganja. Hooked on drugs, if you want to call it. I experienced cold turkey during the 6 months. Since the 6 months, or since the time I repented, I experienced cold turkey. I went back to sin 2-3 times along the way. Now, I shared this with my wife. Okay, my wife knows me. I shared this even with my son, who used to be in Coos. He's now a member of another church. I shared it with him. Not that I'm proud, but I wanted to tell them about the grace of God, about the mercy of God, about the love of Christ. So 2-3 times along the way, I fell. And I was a little bit afraid because it was like a huge mountain before me and I felt I couldn't overcome. And then that's when the Lord began to speak to me. You see, Arthur, I want you to trust in me. Second by second, moment by moment, not 1 hour at a time, not 1 week at a time, but second by second. So each time I face temptation, I would run to God and say, God, I'm weak, but you are strong. God, I run to you. Your word says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. I began to pray the word of God. There is no temptation taken me except that which is common to men. God is faithful. He will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able to bear, but he will make a way of escape. And that way of escape was to me, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from me. I had to put the word into practice, praying the word. Not just memorizing the word, not just reading the word, important as it is a must. You and I must read the word of God. But I had to put into practice the word of God, pray his word, because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword, having of divine power to tear down strongholds. Do you believe it? I experienced it. I felt three things that at this point of my journey God impressing on me. One, in Romans 8, just let me paraphrase very quickly the first few verses. There is now no condemnation for those in Jesus Christ who no longer live in the flesh but are led by the Spirit. It was real to me, a personal word from God to me. John 8, Luke 8, the woman caught in adultery. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw the stone. And Jesus looked at the woman and said, leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more. That was an assurance to me. Arthur, go and leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more. Not that I'm sinless, but I was sinless over my journey here on earth. Last third thing was, after what you cover, I will uncover. What I do in secret, God will uncover. But what you uncover, I will cover. That's a call on me. To speak of about sin and secret sins. So wherever I go, overseas, giving an opportunity, I will speak on these two things. The consequences of sin. And I will talk about secret sins. Encountering God through repentance, encountering God through the reading and memorizing of his word, encountering God by praying his word. I've had further encounters with God, constipation many years ago in the Port Dickson camp. I was angry about something, you know, and God in his mercy, on one of the sessions, I saw a ball of fire coming straight at me, right into my tummy, and I felt my tummy burning. After that, my constipation was cured. I repented. I said, God, I'm sorry. My encounter with God, miraculous things. Another time, in my room, well, a group of people from Church of Our Savior, I saw a bright light coming. We were all praying, and say, it's here. And the next moment, I fell to the ground. I've had encounters with demons. Encounters with them. You would think that all these encounters I had with God, I'm already there, man. I've made it. But you know what? Over time, I slowly but surely neglected God. I neglected Him. I didn't watch my life and my doctrine. I didn't read the Bible for 6 months. And one day, this is the first Bible I had, I found ants in my Bible. No honey in the ants, in my Bible, sorry, not in the ants. No honey, no sugar in my Bible, but I found hundreds of ants in my Bible, nesting there. And I said, God, forgive me. I had not read the Word of God for 6 months. I cleaned up my Bible, repented. Two lessons came to me. I was not hungry for the Word of God, but the ants were hungry for the Word of God. And the ants know that the Word of God is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. God disciplined me. He disciplined me. But it was in a gracious way. Another time, I neglected my life, my spiritual walk with God. And I had to attend to a case where an 11-year-old boy was manifesting. This 11-year-old boy is slightly bigger than I am, and he's taller. And I heard from a church member who knows this family that he had manifested in school before. Now, six persons could not hold him down. He grabbed me when I was in the room, and then the mother said, "You cannot do this to the pastor, you know. He's a pastor." You know what was the response from the demon that was influencing the boy? "Pastor? He's no pastor." It affected me. It affected me for, I tell you, almost a year. I'm not proud to share this with you. I'm not proud to share this vulnerable part of my life. But I don't want to hide skeletons before you. It took me a year. And one day I had to come back humbly before God and say, "Father," and I told the devil this, "so I'm saved by grace, through faith. Lord, I have no plea except the blood of Jesus Christ. No plea at all." The Lord forgave and restored me. You know, God disciplines those who are His. I had to go back to the Word of God. Rely on the Word of God. Walk by faith, not by sight. The spiritual resources that you and I have, the finished work of the cross, the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin, His death, His resurrection, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, these are the spiritual resources that are available to all of us. But I had to partner God in wanting to encounter Him. I had to walk in a covenant relationship with Him. You know, the same grace that pardons you and I is the same grace that empowers us to live the Christian life. As we anchor ourselves in the Word of God and are empowered by the Spirit of God to live the life that God wants us to under His rule and His reign. Don't be deceived. Galatians 6:7 says, God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. So what I sow, I will reap. Romans 6:16, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Scripture cannot be put aside if you are a Christian. You need the Word of God. You know the story of a farmer is that a farmer has responsibilities. God will not plow the ground for him. God will not irrigate the land for him. God will not plant the seed for him. All this the farmer has to do if he hopes to see a bountiful harvest at the end of his hard work. Sure, God will send the rain. God will not take over the responsibility that is yours, that is mine. We have to handle that bit. And we have to work hand in hand with God, with the spiritual resources that He has given to us. If you're looking for a conclusion to my message, there is none. Because why? Encountering God is still a daily affair for me. It's a lifelong journey. I had to continually repent, and I'm still continually repenting whenever I do wrong. And go back to God, go back to His Word. Some of the things I regularly pray for and meditate on, Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If I regard sin in my heart, God will not hear me. I pray this, and I just recently told my wife that the spirit of the fear of God will be upon my life. This is one of the most regular prayers I pray. Why? Because the fear of God keeps me from evil. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So my prayer life is very much anchored in the Word of God. First John 4:20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. It's a check that I always put before me. The Word of God is my check, my value system, my belief system in how I live and move and conduct myself. Because how I live and move and conduct myself and have my being reflects on God. It reflects on God. Whether I'm in church or at home. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness. I was recently reminded as I read a book, and this sentence caught my eye. If you ever think, you know, it spoke directly to me. Arthur, if you ever think that conquered sins of the past no longer has the power to bring you down, you are sadly mistaken. If you ever think that conquered sins of the past no longer has the power to bring you down, you are sadly mistaken. And I was reminded of this. I have not arrived in my spiritual life, guys. I have to continually watch my life, my doctrine. Like I said, my prayer life is pretty much centered on the Word of God. You may think I'm selfish. I pray a lot about myself. But do you know why I pray a lot about myself, my spiritual walk with God? Because I'm an ambassador for Christ. It's not about me. I remember Pastor Benny Ho sharing that his father didn't want to give his life to Christ because of a Christian, because his father worked alongside a Christian, and the Christian was a bad signpost. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm very aware that wherever I go, the way I live and move and have my being, the way I talk, reflects on God. I don't know about you, but I'm constantly in a battle. I read the Bible 7 times over. 7th time was November 11, 2018. I use this Bible. Everything is almost colored. I'm sharing this with you not to boast. I've got nothing to boast about. I'm sharing this with you to encourage you. I'm reading the Bible now for the 8th time. I don't know how long more I have. But I want to encourage you. If you say that the Word of God is a lamp to your feet, a light to your path, then you must go to it. It's better than a compass. A compass can get spoiled along the way, but not the Word of God. If it's sharper than two-edged sword, just like Jesus used Scripture to tear down everything that Satan threw at him, then you got to go to the Word of God. Encountering God through His Word, through praying His Word. Prayer is a relationship with God. It must lead to an encounter with God. There's no shortcut. Even though I'm short, there's no special treatment. I have to walk my walk with God, and I cannot walk your walk with God for you. You have to walk your walk with God on your own. And the late Pastor Michael Ross Watson told this to me when I came up for prayer years ago. After, I cannot walk your walk with God for you. You know it. I want to invite Roy to come up and worship him. You know what I sense in my heart as I was invited to share? I sense that there's some of us who have been here for so many years, you need to encounter God. There's a cry in your heart to want to encounter God, this living God, who is extending an invitation to you this evening to encounter Him. Perhaps some of you just simply need to pray a prayer of repentance. I don't know. I want to ask Roy to just lead us in a song softly. Would you stand? You know, Jesus is asking you this evening, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? If I am the Christ, then follow me. If I am the Christ, then follow me. Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Perhaps some of you this evening have to echo this word. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to surrender myself to you. If you have never encountered God, I'm not asking to encounter God the same way I did. But if you want to encounter the Lord, you have never encountered, you have yet to encounter Him, even after being in church for so many years, serving, the Lord invites you to encounter Him as Lord and Savior, healer, deliverer, a God who forgives, a God who extends mercy. As Roy leads us, if you feel that the Lord is speaking to you, then you just come to the front and you do business with God. Nobody's going to pray for you. Nobody's going to pray for you. I will close in prayer at the end. Roy.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. All the love I've ever felt comes like a flood, comes flowing. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of You. I'm in all of You. Where Your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to You. I owe all to You. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in.
You know, guys, you don't have to worry about the person on your right or to your left. This response is not responding to me. It's to the message that God has placed in my heart. You respond to the message if you sense that this is from the Lord, because it concerns you, your destiny, your well-being, and God is interested in you. He has plans for you, plans for good, for hope, for a future. Not to control you, but as you come under His rule and reign and say, Lord, here I am. It begins at the cross. Then you come. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just come and do a work of circumcision in our hearts. Whether we have responded up front or whether we are standing where we are, I ask that your Holy Spirit will come and do a work of circumcision. That we will not just call you Lord, Lord, and not do the things you want us to, but we will surrender ourselves to you, because life is not a game. We are here for a season, and you have saved us for a reason, to make a difference in the world, to show people that our lives, no matter how difficult, Lord, it can be, you can transform our situation. You can transform us from inside out. So I pray that as they come to the cross, we will surrender our lives. You will begin to do a new work in our lives like never before. We will not just be touched, but we will both be touched and transformed. There will be a renewing of our mind. I ask you to do this thing, that they will encounter you in the name of Jesus.
Yesterday I met one of my mentors, and he asked me this question: where would your relationship with God be if you were not a full-time pastor? And that just really hit me, you know. I think it's just like what Pastor Arthur shared. Sometimes we religiously do things thinking that we can earn righteousness, thinking that we can earn a place with God. I want to speak to some of the leaders, or even if you, whether you're not leaders, if today you are stripped of all the things that you can do for God as a leader, you don't need to preach the word anymore. You don't need to lead worship. You don't need to facilitate discussions. Where will your relationship be with God? Because our relationship with God is not based off what we can do for Him. It's a grace that comes into our life. And the only plea we have, as Pastor Arthur shared, is the blood of Christ. So today, leaders, non-leaders, do not place your trust in the things that you can do, but go back to that one thing alone that can save you, which is the blood of Christ, and let no other thing take that place.
I think God is giving a call to every person in this room who has heard this word. And I think the call is to rededicate yourselves. But when you do that, take it with seriousness. I don't need the music. Let's have everything stripped away for a while. And God is just asking you this question. Would you close your eyes and pray with me? Do you want to know me? Because I know you. If you want to know the Lord, then pray a prayer. I challenge and encourage you, as Pastor Arthur modeled for us. Lord, I want to know you. I want to serve you in the beauty of your holiness. Whatever has captured my heart, God, I will want you to let it go. I will pay the cost, whatever it may be. I'm willing to pay whatever the cost it may be, to know you, God, in the beauty of your holiness. Be my grades, maybe my career. It could be relationships. It could be things that I value. Perhaps a relationship you know that was not right. But God, I'm willing to pay whatever it takes to know you, to really know you in the beauty of your holiness. And today, I am serious. Not just a Saturday prayer, but I am serious, God, to go beyond this auditorium and live it out. So if that is you and you want to rededicate yourself, because this is a word I just want to present before you, would you just pray this to God on your own? And if you're able, would you respond to God in posture? You can lift up your hands, you can kneel. And I just want us to spend just a few minutes in the quietness of this room just to respond to God.
Guys, you know, like, I think in this moment, many of us are renewing our covenant with God. And you know, sometimes, like a marriage, you know, like, I look at my wedding ring, and it's full of scratches. It's seen many days of rain. It's seen tough times. It's seen fantastic, great times. But you know, the point is not to have a very clean wedding ring. The point is that there is a journey. And I think that we all need to take courage that there is a journey, and that even as you renew your covenant with Christ once again, that it isn't just about, you know, perfection, but it's about returning back to a lover who loves you, returning back to a journey, right, with Jesus. For those of you who are very discouraged on this journey of journeying with God and covenant with Him, I just want to invite you to just stretch out your hands. It doesn't have to be a very big gesture, but just receiving. Lord, I just want to pray for my fellow brothers and sisters, no matter how old or how young, God. Journeying with you is the best thing, but sometimes there are so many hindrances and obstacles. But Lord, today we choose to renew our covenant with you. We choose to return back to relationship. We choose to return back to that thirsting after you, not of the things of the world, but Lord, the things of you. Lord, that we, like the ants that Pastor Arthur talked about, will yearn to have your word once again as the foundation of our lives. Lord, once again, we return back and we realign to you. Lord, we look back and we might not necessarily have a new marriage with you. And it might seem like the history of our past is not there. But God, in this journey with you, Lord, you remind us that you forgave us. And in that brokenness, we have the courage to move on ahead. We have the courage to see what tomorrow brings, because you hold our hand, no matter how our wedding rings look like with you.
Father, we come before you as a ministry, as a throne, to your throne today. And God, we say to you, Lord, we want to know you, to serve you. In the glorious beauty of your holiness, God, I pray for us that we will handle your glory with care, that we will honor your presence, that there will be the fear of the Lord in our midst, in our conversations, in our private lives, in the way we think. God, may you be glorified. May we handle your presence with care. May we not take it for granted. May we host your presence with care and gentleness, God. May we recognize when you're speaking to us. God, I pray for our hearts, the hearts perhaps have been hardened here and there, that it will be hardened no more, that there will be a quickening to your voice when you speak to us, not only when there is a bombastic encounter, but in the little things. When you whisper to us, we will hear it. We will hear the King of Glory speaking to us. And we will know you in the simple beauty of your holiness and be content with that. There is nothing better than to dwell in your presence. God, we apologize, God, when we rushed in and out of your presence with such haste, as though our schedules were more important than you. But God, we dwell in this moment because we want to honor you with our time. We don't want to rush in and out of a moment with you, God. but may it be more than a Saturday. May it be our every day. Psalms 24 says, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? I pray this over you, that you may ascend to the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place. I pray that you will have clean hands and a pure heart when you had prayed that prayer to God. You will not be one who lift up your soul to falsehood. You will not sworn deceitfully. I pray that you will receive a blessing from the Lord, the blessing of knowing God and his holiness. I pray that you receive righteousness from God of this salvation. I pray that this will be the generation, you who seek his face. And I pray that you would daily lift up your heads. And I pray that the King of Glory will step into your hearts every day. So God, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your presence with us. Teach us, God, to honor your presence with care. So Father, we lift up our journeys to you. Thank you for journeying with us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, today, Pastor Arthur, I was very moved by his sharing. He's a father of the house. I consider him a father of this house. He shared so vulnerably with us, and he just poured out his life to us, both in its good and in the places that perhaps were not as good as well. And I thank him for his honesty. Shall we just thank him for sharing his life with us? Alright, girls, so guys, service is over. See you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.